Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Steve Jones Show on a Victory Monday. Matt Catrillo here with you. Steve will soon be there from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, great selection of new and pre-owned inventory. And whether you're looking to buy a brand new car or used car, the sales staff is there to make sure that you stay within your budget. And a service department is there with the diagnostics, the inspections, all the routine maintenance. Many awesome technicians ready to serve you, but SMC is now looking for more. They're looking for entry-level and experienced technicians to work in their quick lane, car light truck service, heavy truck service, body frame and alignment and towing department. So whether you got some experience, looking for your first job, or you just want a career change, SMC would love to hear from you. Stop by in person, apply online at sunburymotors.com, or you can call Todd at 286-7746, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And, of course, every Monday show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. Home, auto, life, business, whatever you need, they've got it to protect you and to protect what matters most. Best in the business when it comes to insurance needs. All at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, or go to purdyinsurance.com. And we've got a busy show to start off this one here today. We got Mike Rose from Lancaster Newspapers on at 3:35 today. Scott Lauber from the Philadelphia Inquirer at 4:06 to recap a disappointing ending, but still obviously a tremendous Phillies playoff run, losing in Game 6 Saturday night to the Astros. And got a whole lot more coming up, too. We'll get to the highlights in a little bit from the game in the win against Indiana, which you have to definitely give, I think, Bob Wischusen and Dan Orlovsky during the ABC broadcast brought up a great point in giving Penn State credit the way they played, considering it's been a tough go two out of the last three games with the whiteout win smushed in between there. This Indiana team clearly has a lot of problems offensively. Jack Buttle surprisingly starts, then gets hurt. Then you leave it to a guy that's got no experience whatsoever, and Indiana was in a tough spot already, and it was put in an even tougher spot in the second half once Jack Buttle got hurt. And Penn State took it to him on the line of scrimmage. That's what you want to see good teams do, and they did that. And other than the game being tied at 7 midway at the end of the first quarter, Penn State was just completely dominant in all three phases of the game. And that's exactly what you wanted to see them do in this game, especially when you had the wind being a factor, though James Franklin said after the game and watching the game, it didn't look like it was that much of a factor. The passing game still worked pretty well. Of course, Jake Pinniger hits the 50-yard field goal at the end of the half to make it 24-7. But all things considered and everything that Penn State had against them coming in, they took care of business and won this game pretty handedly. Now, as far as the quarterback situation is concerned, let's go to this here. Now, starting with Sean Clifford, there was no doubt in my mind he was going to start this game. And there was no doubt in my mind I believe every word that James Franklin said post-game, that there was maybe one small conversation with the coaching staff, and then you move on and get ready for Indiana. Because other than a couple errant throws here and there, and obviously the interception, you can't make that throw. And James Franklin's even said numerous times that Sean Clifford's got to get rid of that. Sean Clifford still, again, bounced back the way he does and came up with some big plays again and led Penn State to 31 points. Then Drew Aller comes in, and he was great. He showed a lot of good poise once again on the road, made tremendous amount of throws, including the one on the touchdown pass to, what was it, to Strange, I think. Oh, no, to Harrison Wallace, I should say. I mean, that was just as tight a throw as you can make in that tight a window. And he even had room to run it in himself, but he decides to make the throw, lasers that in there, the throw to Brandon Strange. I mean, it was a better catch by Strange, but he made a couple other nice throws and looked like the part, the future part for this team.
He's a good player. Come on. I mean, I love watching him play, all right? But you know what? There's an amazing consistency to how James Franklin has handled this.
Yep.
Right? It may not be the way you, the listener, would want to handle it, which is that's perfectly acceptable. It's your opinion. But he's been incredibly consistent with how he has handled who his starter is and when he brings in his backup.
And this just came to mind, too. The Ohio game was 26-7 when he came in, put the game away. 31-7 game, 24-point game. He comes in and then does a magnificent job.
Right? And look, and he put him in the game with the starting wideouts, the starting offensive line, against the Indiana starters, where a margin had been built up. One of the keys to developing young players, and it always goes back to what Joe talked to me about. He said, "Steve, I'd rather play a guy one game too late than a game too early." In terms of the ability, in words, you want to put them in spots where they can have success, maximize the experience. And that's why you see, now other positions are handled differently, obviously. But you see how they rotate in a lot of players during the course of the game at other positions as time goes. Now, the rotation, you may notice, does lessen as the season goes. When you get into games like, when you get into other games, for example, the rotation does lessen. Why does it lessen? Because now it becomes a question of, all right, I've now watched a body of work. Who do I trust? And that's how you play it out. But you want to, when you're in a situation like this, you're always going, as a coach, if you're doing it right, you want to make sure that putting him in a situation where the confidence grows. And I think so far to this point, I think they've handled Drew Aller really well. Now, does the world want to see more of him? Sure. I can understand why they want to see more of him. My goodness. I mean, look at the size of the young man. Look at how he throws the ball. You sit there, you watch him throw the ball. It comes out of his hand differently, the whole deal. But guess who's not complaining about the situation? I'll give you one guess who's not complaining about the situation.
Drew.
Who might that? Yeah, he's the person not complaining about it. I'm at practice the other night, on Sunday night. He's having a great conversation with Sean about everything that's going on. All right? What you want to see. Yeah. He's the one that's not complaining. Okay. Now, it's been maybe, I don't know, I'd say maybe 5, maybe 6, 7 weeks since I talked to Drew's parents. But when I talked, now, this is weeks ago, obviously. I haven't talked to him since, but they had no complaints when I talked to them. In fact, they had nothing but praise for Sean. I mean, what's always interesting about this? Okay, I'll give you a couple. Let's take a really benign example, really benign, and that is USC UCLA going to the Big Ten. You have a lot of people that are of the opinion that you need to get other West Coast teams in there because you're putting them on an island, and USC and UCLA really need to have other teams out there with them. Has anybody taken a moment to call or talk to the USC or UCLA people to find out if that's actually true or not? Because the ones I've talked to, because I've taken the time to call a couple of people I know out there, they're like, no, we kind of like it to ourselves out here. They don't want to be. I mean, you got to, you know, again, the ability to, I tell you all the time, get your hands dirty. Make a phone call. Ask. Right? A lot of people make assumptions about stuff. About, well, you know, they really would want it. Excuse me, how do you know that? How do you know that's what they want? Did you ask them? Same thing with this. I mean, you know, and Drew is a great kid to talk to. He is a great kid to talk to. Like him a lot. So, just, I think to this point, James has handled it really well. He's been very consistent in what he has done. Where's the inconsistency? He has not sat there as the head coach, and he has not panicked about the situation. He has not panicked about the you know, world around him. He has a plan. He has stuck to the plan. The players knew going into the season what the plan was. And you know what the players like? Players always like to be told what's going on. So, he's kept everybody in the loop as to what they're doing. He's done it, in my opinion. It's only my opinion. It may be dramatically different than your opinion, and I appreciate that very much. But he's done it the right way. You know, and I pointed out more often than not, but I'll do it one more time. In this world of get ready for the next season and that thought process. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. What were the plans of Nick Saban, Ryan Day, Mac Brown, and, well, of course, you'd have to go back to Justin Fuente. But dealing with C.J. Stroud, Hendon Hooker, Bryce Young, Drake May. The four of them combined to throw 32 passes in their true freshman years. Total. It hasn't affected them. So Drew is actually, Drew has got to be, I think he's at 43 now, right? But the other four combined for 32. I think Drew's thrown 43 so far to this point. He's had thrown more passes in his freshman year as a non-starter than the other four did in backup roles in their true freshman years. Right? There's ways of handling it. Right? And I'm of the opinion James has been consistent and he's handled it the right way. That's me. And that's me watching it every day. Every day I watch it. I think the first practice of the season I'm going to miss is going to be Wednesday next week. I'll still have a way to watch it, but Wednesday next week will be the first one I won't physically be at. So I've been in all the other ones. There has been a great consistency to it, and the players appreciate that. And I understand why the fans watch him and go, wow. He's fun to watch. He's a great prospect. A terrific kid. All right. Maryland's next. I felt awful the other night. I mean, when Kevin Cash took Blake Snell out of the world. Oh, that wasn't Kevin Cash and Blake Snell?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Rob Thompson and Zach Wheeler. Like, what are we doing here? I praised him left and right, so believe me, But this time I can't. I'm sorry. I've got a guy that's actually out there that they are really struggling with. And he's at 70 pitches and he's throwing 98. And you bring in a guy that has actually struggled in that spot? I don't want to hear, well, Alvarado's done this, this, this. Okay, what has Alvarado really done? Against St. Louis, had a problem, right? In the one game. Oh, and by the way, came into the game, and the first pitch he threw, he hit Alvarez with the bases loaded. Then he gave up a double to Bregman. What has he done to warrant, like, hey, this is the guy I got to have in here right now? What? What has he done? What's my better option? The guy throwing 98 that has been dominating the game, or a guy that, like, a couple times in the postseason hasn't gone so well? So you don't sit there and give me this. It's the third time through the order. Guess what? They can't touch him? They can't touch him. Wheeler was pitching a great game. Yeah. Again, I go back to explain to me. So, as soon as somebody can explain to me which games analytics happens to be winning, I'd like to know. Which ones? Jonathan Smith, the other night I'm watching Oregon State. They drive down to the 8-yard line. They got a 4th-and-3. He goes for it. Now, remember, the field is shorter here, okay? No room to operate, right? Not as much area to cover. It's 4th-and-3, right? I'm thinking to myself, okay, kick the field goal, take the lead, it'll be, okay, good start for you. Nope, went for it, didn't get it. Oh, by the way, guess how much they lost the game by? 3. It's amazing how that works out. There are a lot of ways to win. Analytics is one of them. It is not the only one. And there is a bully culture out there, which I don't really care about. I could care less. You're a dinosaur. That's fine. You can call me a dinosaur all you want. I've watched a lot of winning in my life, and I don't play Madden. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
College basketball season officially underway as Baylor beat Mississippi Valley State today 117-53. I feel better. I think you ought to rank Baylor number one. What do you think? No?
I think we can wait a little.
Oh, now you want to wait a little. I do this back in August about football. You're like, oh,
no,
my
but
God,
the college football playoff committee would put them fourth because they didn't score 150 points, because that's the logic they use.
You're just a mean guy, okay? I mean, I mean, thank goodness for Lisa. The kids have a positive chance in life. I mean, come on. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, auto, home, life, business, motorcycle, boat. I think the suit has his yacht also insured, even though he has it in Danville. This doesn't seem like a sailing area to me. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, and my good friend Mike Gross joins us. Great to see you on Saturday. Great to be with you right now.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing great.
You sound a little eclectic today.
I'm fine. We're just having fun today. Got a basketball game tonight.
That's what we're here. That's why we're here, man.
Yeah. You know what? It's sports. If you can't have fun with it, you're in the wrong business.
That's for sure.
Unless you're Frank Reich. All right, so...
Frank Reich. Like me, a graduate of Cedar Crest High School in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, so I'm... I was sad to hear that today. He is a good guy, but it really didn't work. It really didn't work, and that, you know how that business is.
It is the business. Penn State was in bounce-back mode for the second time this season. For the second time, they bounced back with a win by a margin. What did you think Saturday?
Yeah, you're right. It was the kind of thing that you it's easy to say, well, it was Indiana, but you're right. It's the second time that they bounced back from taking a hit. And my big takeaway from this, Steve, was, you know, one of James's themes for the last year and a half, maybe, has been we got to get deeper. We got to develop depth. And that really manifested on Saturday with their beat up offensive line. And then, you know, they get another injury to the offensive line on the first snap of the game and still manage to hold that thing together and run the ball pretty effectively. And win pretty easily. And obviously, their defense was very dominant in the kind of game that they really thrive in, because they really knew that Indiana was not a threat to run the ball. So it was kind of, in a way, similar to the Purdue game, almost like a 7-on-7 type approach. Yeah. And all those guys that Penn State has that can run around and fly around and make plays, that came to the fore. And I thought it was a pretty good win. I really thought they played well.
It's one thing to see the tackles for losses, but back to your point about depth, Mike, the fact that it came from 12 different guys,
right,
that tells
that's
me
amazing.
Something, too.
That might be college football history. That may be, I mean, who could ever research that? But that may never have happened before. 13 TFLs in one half, and then all those different guys getting them. Amazing, yeah. And three interceptions by three different guys, too.
Everyone talks about Drew Aller, and I understand that because, look, I mean, everybody sees the talent. They're excited about it. I understand that. James has been, this is my opinion, you can tell me again, you know if I'm wrong or not, but there's been a consistency to me as to how he's handled this. Have you seen that he's been consistent as to how he has handled Sean and then when to bring Drew in?
Yeah, well, he's been consistent in how he's handled it. I think his sort of rhetoric in dealing with us has changed a little bit, which is not that important, but it's sort of interesting to me. And for the first time this year, he really said what I thought he should have said, even if it sounds dismissive. He said after the game on Saturday, he said, you know, everybody's got an opinion, but hardly anybody has 1% of the information that I have to make the decision. And that's just the truth. I maybe he's afraid of sounding arrogant by saying that, but obviously that's true. We don't, even the teeny amount that we get to see in the media of practice is no indication of what's going on in terms of in the meeting room and all of that stuff. And you don't, and also you can't even see watching the game the full impact that a guy like Clifford can have in terms of getting them into the right stuff and reading the right things and all of that. So, you know, here we are. You can't say that it hasn't basically worked, right? I mean, the way this season has gone.
When you've watched Drew, all right, again, you've had the ability to watch the games. When you've watched him, what have you liked?
Well, he's such a big guy, and he has such a quick release that, you know, I mean, what the football geeks call arm talent. He's got oodles of that. That's anybody who can see anything can see that. And one of the things that is sort of a litmus test to me of a guy who can, just as a passer, is his ability to make those throws into tight windows in the red zone. Because that's decision-making and arm strength and quick release and accuracy. That's all of those things in one little instant. And you saw it, I think, particularly with the first touchdown pass he threw on Saturday, but kind of both of those. That's one of the things that I always look for, and that is a big check mark positive in his favor.
Yeah, the one that he threw to Johnson, he just laid it up there, perfect. And then the one he threw to Wallace, I think my exact quote in the broadcast when I looked at Jack, I said, that was a dart.
Yeah, well, that's the one that I was talking about most. That's the one. Those throws when the defense has a relatively small amount of vertical space to cover, so they can kind of fill his field of vision with bodies, and he's got to stick it in there. It has to be a dart, and so that's encouraging to me.
Which now brings us to Sean Clifford. Clifford was asked after the game about Drew, and he's singing his praises left and right about Drew. And he was asked about criticism. He says, "Look, I'm a happy guy."
I'll tell you, I love that quote. I thought that was a great little quote. I wish I would have used it. I couldn't quite find a way to work it into what I wrote, but that was exactly the right thing to say, and exactly the right way to be if you're a college football player, and I like that a lot. Yeah.
All right. So I mean, the two running backs, Singleton and Allen, they came in, a lot of hype, a lot of talk.
Yep.
You now watch them go through nine games of seeing them out there in a little bit different styles. What have you thought of the two freshmen?
Well, they've been terrific. I mean, to have two of them, and now they're really, I mean, they've been relied upon for almost the whole way. And I think I might ask James about this at the press conference tomorrow. I think that I've seen Singleton in the last couple of weeks, and particularly Saturday, make some progress in some of the areas that Catron Allen, it seems to come naturally to Catron Allen. How to use your blockers, how to use the vision thing, how to stop and go and make people miss, how to get that extra yard or two after contact. I'm seeing Singleton make a little progress in that area, in addition to his unbelievable speed and strength. I mean, down the road, that could make him be an unbelievable player. But Catron Allen was, as good a player as there was on the field on Saturday. I thought he was really good. I said something about him being maybe the Big Ten freshman and offensive player of the week, but it turned out that a freshman for Iowa ran for 200 yards on Saturday. Yeah. So I guess he aced him out for those honors. But Allen was really good. And those guys, I mean, we expected them to play. I think we expected them to play early, but to be depended on in this way, it's easy to say now that you saw it coming, but you can't assume that. They've both been really good.
After watching the running attack the last 2 years, Mike, in 20 and 21, where there is some talent, there's no getting around it. How different, though, is it watching the way these guys run the ball and how they use their offensive linemen, and what has it meant to the passing game?
Well, it opens up the playbook in every way. Just being able to, I've had this thought so many times just covering the games and watching the games, where where on first and 10, they run the ball and get 3 or 4 yards. That's so much, that changes everything. You know, that whole idea of being ahead of the sticks, and that opens up your playbook, and that opens up your options, and that makes you harder to defend. It's been huge. And then when you add the element of both Allen and Singleton able to make a big play, able to hit a home run in the running game, particularly Singleton did that early, and a couple times, Allen has done it now a couple times too. It's hard to overstate. It's a big deal, and it's made them so much harder to defend. I think there's no question.
You know, after watching Ohio State and Michigan, what's your thoughts on those two teams?
I would put Michigan a little bit ahead of Ohio State, just because Ohio State struggles to run the ball, and that has happened the last couple weeks. We've seen that in particular with Ohio State, but they've got a great quarterback and a great system and unbelievable receivers, so they're going to have a puncher's chance against anybody. It's funny to say Ohio State having a puncher's chance. I guess that's not really what I mean, but you know, that threat of the passing game. I think they're two of the best 3 or 4 teams in the country. I think it's entirely possible that they could both make the playoff. And that would change some of the opportunities maybe for bowl games for Penn State if that happens. I'm impressed with the way Michigan has, in short order, rebuilt its defense. When you look at what they lost defensively, I mean, especially those DNs who were number two pick, and then like the number 20 pick in the first round, right, or something like that. They've rebuilt their defense really fast. They might have the best offensive line in the country, and we know how important. We just talked about that. We know how important that is. Here's another thing. In 2020, granted that was the COVID year, and it almost doesn't count, but Michigan was not very good not that long ago, and it's been a remarkable turnaround with that, and then to again turn it over after losing a lot on the defensive side this year. I mean, I'm really impressed with what Michigan's doing right now.
Yeah, and there's one interesting side note to this year's Ohio State-Michigan game. It'll be the first time in 4 years Michigan's played at Ohio State. They haven't played there. You know, people forget that game in 20.
Now, why is that?
In 20, the last game they played because of COVID was against Penn State, and they canceled the Ohio State game in Columbus.
That's right. That's crazy. Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Well, you start thinking about stuff like that.
Yeah. You notice those things, Steve.
I guess I'm a geek. Who knows?
That seems a little harsh.
Mike, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Great talking to you. It's always great talking just off to the side, let alone in a format like this. Great to have you with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve. Anytime.
Thanks, Mike. Outstanding Mike Gross. Does great work. Lancaster and everywhere. Appreciate him very much. Boy, it felt like the Phillies struck out as much as the Yankees did. No.
Ed actually just emailed that to us, so yeah. I don't disagree.
All right, very quickly, before I go to break. I talk about myths in sports, and I talked about a big one last week, right? For all of you people, the Philadelphia Phillies crowds were awesome. It was great to hear all the time, the enthusiasm, the juice, the energy. I loved it watching it. Boy, it made the World Series more enjoyable for me. But you don't sit there going, oh, yeah, it's an intimidating crowd. To who? The Astros took 2 out of 3 in your park. I don't think they're all that intimidated. It's a nice thought. But it's no. Really good teams are not intimidated. Okay? Lesser teams, maybe. Really good teams, not intimidated. Sorry, Matt. I know that's another. I feel like I killed myths. But they took 2 out of 3 in Philadelphia. I don't think they were intimidated. Do you?
I guess not.
They didn't look like they were intimidated by the Yankee Stadium crowd.
Well, I mean, the Phillies at least had some things to cheer about here and there. The Yankees had nothing to cheer about, so, of course, they were not intimidated at Yankee Stadium.
You're just in such a bad mood lately. You know what we should do? Get a hold of the suit. Maybe we'll buy you Madden. You can just, like, play video games. It'd be great.
You know, it has been an extreme long time since I have played a video game, let alone Madden. That'd be pretty ugly to watch.
Yeah, but I don't think you'd walk away mad. Like, the reality stuff's killing it. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The weather is getting cooler and the leaves are changing in central PA. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. If your current agent is falling short, it's time to give Purdy Insurance a call. We're a local, family-owned independent agency ready to find the right insurance to fit your needs. You can call us at 570-286-5855, stop in our office on Market Street in Sunbury, or head to our website at purdyinsurance.com to find out what we can do for you.
Because it was a topic of discussion, why did you decide to continue with Sean as the starter, and can you evaluate both quarterbacks?
Yeah, nothing had changed. I told you I had discussion with members on the staff, but nothing had changed from our perspective. Everybody still saw it the same way. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't too close to the decision. Literally to a man, everybody saw it the way, same way. Now, obviously, you know, we would have loved to get Drew in this game. That was part of the plan, to hopefully continue to get him as many reps as we possibly can. But it really, I mean, I know you guys, I think the last time I got together with you, I think my first seven questions were about the quarterback position. And for us, it really wasn't a huge hole. It wasn't a lot of dialogue. It was one discussion that we had. And after that, we just kind of went back to our normal operation.
Another answer that didn't satisfy.
Oh, I was plenty satisfied with that one. I believed 110% of that, in fact.
Wow. Wow, you woke up on the right side of the bed today, huh?
Well, this is one side of things that I think everybody else is totally insane about. I mean, think about this too now from a bigger picture. Now that Illinois has two losses, guess what? A Rose Bowl appearance is plenty right there for Penn State. I want Sean Clifford in there as long as I'm eligible for the Rose Bowl. Sorry, that's just me.
Yeah.
I'd like to play a Rose Bowl game instead of giving Drew Aller more and more reps and look toward next year. As good as he is. I'd like to play in the Rose Bowl.
Well, again, you know, look, as I tell people over and over again, in the role I have, and I'm very fortunate, obviously, not only to have the role, but extremely fortunate beyond the words to have the access I have. I'll see these guys throw maybe 4,000-plus passes a year. I see good, bad, in between, from all of them. Okay. Right? I mean, that's why I think I said, like, some fan was like, and he hasn't thrown an interception yet this year. I said, that's the difference between you and me. I said, I have. What? Because they all do. I mean, they all do in practice at some point or another. All right, that's fine. But he's been consistent about it. People will continue to ask about it because he is such an intriguing prospect. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to look at him and say that. I mean, that's... But they are 7-2. I mean, the guy starting can't be that bad. They're not 2-7. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.